John chapter number 14, verse number 1 is where we're going to begin. And God's just been working on my heart. And I tell you, sometimes we get troubled. Sometimes we get distressed. Sometimes we're thinking about everything that could go wrong or possibly everything that can go wrong. And some of us even think that if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. How many of you live in a family that if it's going to happen to somebody, it's going to be your family? Just seems to be that way. I tell you, there's a lot of things that happen, and you just say, how in the world could that possibly happen? And I just say, because if your last name's Roy, it's going to happen. And you may just go ahead and insert your last name there as well. And I'm telling you, I have gone and I have seen all sorts of things that I thought to myself, how in the world could that happen? And it just happens to folks. But then it just gets to a point, Brother Richard, where you just start to think, it seems like everything's against you. And it seems like your heart just becomes troubled more and more and more. But God has told us right here, He has given us a prescription for heart trouble. When your troubled heart is in trouble, He has given you the prescription as to what you need to know. See, in the Word of God, it has a lot to say about the heart, of course, and it describes the heart as the seat of emotions many times. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 23 says it this way, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It seems that we are in the last days, and as we look around in the last days, according to Luke chapter number 21, verse number 26, the Bible, Jesus Christ is actually speaking, and He says, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking for those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaking. So He's saying that men's hearts are going to be failing them because of the things that are happening in this world. Their emotions are getting the best of them. Most well-known verse probably is in Jeremiah chapter number 17. The book of Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 9, the Bible says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Of course, the Bible talks about the Word of God and also how we need to be strengthened by that in our hearts and within ourselves. And the Word of God also tells us that God deals with the heart. I'm thankful that when I was a six-year-old little boy, God dealt with my heart, dealt with me. He didn't, Brother Joel didn't say you have to have a nickel or a dime or a quarter or $100 or $50 or anything, because if that were the case, then I would have been lost. But I'm thankful that He dealt with my heart and came to me with my heart and with a broken heart. And He also says that He looks on the heart. He told them in the Old Testament that I'm not looking at the outside appearance, but I'm looking on the heart issues. He also even said that He goes on and He's close to a heart, close to a broken heart. Proverbs chapter number 34, verse number 18, simply says this, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And such, and save as such as be a contrite spirit. Jesus in our text here tonight is talking about the hearts of the disciples. And look with me in John chapter number 14 for our text. John chapter number 14, verse number 1. The Bible simply says, let not your heart be troubled. Here we think that we're going through this difficult time. The disciples are having such a difficult time. And you say, well, why in the world are they having such a difficult time? You've got to read back to chapter number 13 to understand what's going on. But Jesus simply says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Glory to God. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? In verse number 6, the most well-known verse probably here is, it simply says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. But I'm so glad that I know the way, I know the truth, and I know the life that is Jesus Christ and how he has done that. So Jesus here is talking to those disciples where they're burdened and they're troubled. Their hearts are burdened and they're troubled. And he knew that there were going to be burdened hearts and troubled hearts throughout time that needs his tender love and care to be able to go forward and to touch those hearts that were in such trouble. And our text is directly after the time, chapter number 13, where Judas has already left them. Jesus was speaking of going away. Now, you think about this. They had spent the last 3.5 years with this man, and he had done everything. They had seen these miracles, and they knew, as long as I'm with him, I'm okay. Let me also say, as long as you stick with Jesus, right now, as long as you are with him, you will be okay. I'm so thankful that I have trusted in him as my Savior, and he has been all along with me every step of the way since I have been saved, and he has never failed me. He has never forsaken me. He has never led me astray. I'm thankful that I have that. And they're thinking, as long as we're with him, and now he's talking about he's going away somewhere. Now, I will say this, that if you're with somebody for an extended amount of time like this, and they have been doing all the miracles or the things that you had seen him doing, then your heart is going to be troubled to say, then what in the world am I going to do now? What in the world can I possibly do without him? Yeah, Brother Jose, I feel like there's a whole lot of Christians that are trying to live their life without Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that are trying to live their life without knowing the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the power of Jesus Christ working in their hearts. And Jesus was speaking to them about going away. And then to top it all off, he told Peter, by the way, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter says, me? Not me, Lord. So he's talking to all of them, and their hearts were heavy because they were trying to figure out, why is he speaking to us about these sort of things? Why is he talking to us and telling us that all of these things are about to happen? Judas is gone, and now he's talking about he's going to leave. And now he says, Peter, which is supposed to be one of the strongest ones among us, that he's going to go ahead and deny Jesus Christ. If he can't stand for God, who can stand for God? How would I? So their hearts are heavy during this time. And today, here we, many of us have burdens and we have troubles in our hearts, and our hearts that need to hear from heaven, need to hear a word of God. And that is the only reason that I'm here tonight. Because I feel like that we just need to have and to hear a word from God to know that our hearts may be heavy, our hearts may be burdened, we may be troubled, and we may have all sides about us, as Paul said. But thank God that we are not cast down and we are not overcome, that we can become an overcomer through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that we can do great things because of what God has done for each and every one of us. We need to hear a word of God that is encouraging to us. We need to hear a word of God that is emphatically set beside saying that I'm here with you and I'm here for you and I will take care of you. I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is on our side and we've got great things to look forward to. You look around and say, what do we got to look forward to? Well, praise God. You look in this text and Jesus goes through and he writes down a prescription of the great physician that sits there. Or the heart doctors today, they prescribe medications. They describe all sorts of different things. They tell us to go ahead and get more exercise. Now, why are you laughing at me when I said that? That's not... I'm telling you, I went to the doctor. He said, you need to lose weight. I said, you could lose a few pounds yourself. He said, I don't have the same problems you have. I said, if you keep eating the way you are, you will. I turned it around on him, bless God, I did. I ain't scared. Heather said, you'll never be able to go to that doctor again. I don't care. And I got to behave. She's in here tonight. I'm in trouble. They said, you need to exercise. You need to eat. Eat things that are good for you. If it tastes terrible, swallow it. It's great. But if it tastes good, spit it upon the walls, because it is not good for you. Oh, what I would give for a double cheeseburger right now. My goodness, curly fries from Arby's. 5-layer burrito from Taco Bell. Hallelujah. I'm talking Cracker Barrel, baby. Amen. Nothing on Cracker Barrel's menu is good for you. I love all those sorts. But the doctors say, well, you're going to have heart problems. You're going to have heart problems. Yeah, I'm going to have heart problems. You need to go ahead and you need to lose that weight, Brother Roy. You're going to need to lose that weight, or you're going to have some problems. Yeah, I know. I got to go to heaven for some reason, praise the Lord. So I even had one person tell me, well, listen, if you don't do this, I'd rather go to heaven happy. Amen? Then go to heaven mad as the devil. Hallelujah. I thought I'd get a few more amens out of that one. But here we have Jesus is telling us, we have these heart doctors, they give you statin drugs. They give you blood pressure medications. They give you, if it's bad enough, they give you nitroglycerin pills that you go ahead and you've got to make sure that you've got to be able to help your heart. You have all of these things that they give to you. But the great physician is not prescribing any of those things. What he is prescribing for each and every one of us for a troubled heart, he's saying that I am here for that troubled heart. I am here to help. As a matter of fact, he's speaking in Luke chapter number 4, verse number 18. In Luke chapter number 4, verse number 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the, I love this, broken hearted. To preach deliverance to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind and set liberty to them that are bruised. God has a promise that he's even promised that he would give us a new heart. In Ezekiel, he says that a new heart will I also give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take out the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will give you something that is malleable, that's something that I can mold to, that's something that's not a rock and hard that they'll be able to not be able to do anything with it. I'll give you that stony, give you that fleshly heart that'll be able to be malleable to what I need you to do. That heart that we get when we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that he decides that he can help us. Look around to you today. You are troubled on every side. You look at the political world, there's all sorts of problems. You look at across the nations, there's all sorts of war problems. You look at the entertainment world, that there are all sorts of problems. You look at anything in this world that is of this world, there are problems. But when you look to Jesus Christ, glory to God, hallelujah. When you look to the Lord God Almighty, when you look to the Word of God, when you look to what Jesus Christ has done for you, you can look up and you can say, hey, I've got some good things that's going to be happening to me in the future. I've got some great things that I'll be going forward to into the future. I'm thankful that I've got this because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Shane, why don't you go ahead? Well, I want to help you go through these six verses really quickly tonight. And then we'll just go ahead and go to the house all the way shouting all the way there. Why? Because when you look at John chapter number 14, the first six verses, Jesus Christ gives us that prescription card. And he says, if you will look at these things, you will think about these things. Philippians says to think on good things, to think on what God's word has said. And Jesus Christ, he is telling us right here, this is what you need to concentrate on. Look at with me in chapter number 14 in the book of John, verse number 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm so glad that those words are straight from Jesus Christ. I love those red letter editions. How you can look and you know that the blood of Jesus Christ is anointing those words. Why? Because he is speaking them himself. And he simply says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, you know who God is. You've known and you've been taught who God is. And now you see God in the flesh. Now you see God in the flesh and you see that how great that I am. That when the fears of the future begins to grip you, you just turn to the Savior, glory to God. And he will take care of all the rest. When the fears over death or overwhelm you, you begin to go ahead and turn to the Savior. You can say, what is it? It's the power of Christ that is in me that I'm able to live this life. Glory to God. I have power through the blood of Jesus Christ. I have power through the blood of what Jesus Christ has shed for me. The power of Christ lives within inside of each every one of us that have trusted him. Isn't that wonderful to know? That he says that the very first thing that you look at as, I will be all right, I can handle all things. You think about that, that you think about the comforting power of Jesus Christ. You know with all of it, Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18, the Bible says this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Not part of the power, not portions of the power, not I've got power to do this, or I've got power to do that, or I've got power to do these things, but he says that I have all power, no matter what it is that is in your life. He has the power to overcome that. No matter what it is that you're facing in your life, he has the power to help you through that. No matter what sin it is in your life, he has the power to forgive you for that. No matter what struggle you have in your life, glory to God, he has the comfort to be able to overpower and come over that. And no matter what goes on in your life, no matter the sorrow that you may have in your life, thank God that we serve a Savior in Jesus Christ that has all power, and he can take care of anything and everything that we go through in our lives. Boy, it's comforting to me. I remember as a young boy, when I was just a young boy, I thought my dad could do anything and everything. And if you're able to go ahead and admit it, you thought your dad could too as well. You go ahead and you just say, my dad is the best at everything. You remember those days, my dad can beat up your dad. My dad can jump higher than your dad. My dad can do this. My dad can do that. My dad can fix cars better than your dad can. My dad can fix this better than your dad can. My dad can do this better than that dad. You just go ahead. You just list on and say, well, guess who my heavenly father? And guess what he's good at? Glory to God. Thank y'all for preaching for me. He's good at everything. He's, as a matter of fact, he's the best at everything. He's the best healer that you need. He's the best fixer that you need. He's the best forgiver that you need. He's the best comforter that you need. He's the best of whatever it is in your life that you need. It may be you needed to have a rock to stand on. Thank God that he can be that rock. You may need to have a shield to be able to cover you, and thank God he can be that shield. You go ahead and you may need a buckler in your life like the psalmist says, but glory to God, he can do all those things and do them all well, that he has all power, and we can be comforted and know knowing that the great physician is also the great creator. Knowing that the God that flung the stars into the sky is also the same God that touched our lives and heals our body and helps us along. And no matter what it is that's going on in our life, he has the power to overcome it, the power to heal it, the power to fix it, the power to help it. It doesn't matter what it is. God can do it all. Boy, what a comfort to know that the power is in Jesus Christ. Not only that comforting power, but it is a constant power. He will never lose. I love that old song. The blood will never lose its power. God will never lose his power. Boy, the omniscience, the omnipresence, and the wonderful God that we have is so wonderful. In Mark chapter number 4, verse number 39, you can remember back when in Mark chapter number 4, when the disciples are going along and Jesus Christ is sitting there, he's back in the boat and he's asleep. And all of a sudden they say, hey, we're going to perish, Jesus, if you don't do something about this. And he wasn't worried a bit about what was going on. Why? Because he had power over the things that were a destruction to glory to God. I feel like having me a spell right now, Brother Earl. God has the power over the things that were going to be the destruction to those disciples. But glory to God, he had the power to go out. And he goes on and he shows in Mark chapter number 4, he goes on and he says, and he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. So the things that the disciples thought, this is going to destroy us, this is going to remove us from this earth, we're not going to be able to overcome this. God says, I have power over all these things. I created the wind. I created the seas. I created these things that are happening in your life. I know what is going on in your life, and I can overcome those. The same one that speaks to the wind and to the waves still lives and speaks to my heart and says, don't worry, Shane. I know that you're worried about this. I know that you're struggling with this. I know you're having this issue in your life, and I have the power to overcome it. Don't worry that I can see you through no matter what it is in your life. He has never and has never and never will lose his power. Thank God that we have the power of Jesus Christ that's even within us. But I want you to look in the second verse with me. That's just the first verse. We got five more to go. Some of you are looking, oh no. But look at verse number two. There's a portion of Christ as well. In my Father's house are many mansions. My Paul would sing, one of those mansions is mine. Brother John, Dr. Harper, my Paul has already claimed his mansion. Now, I don't know if Paul and Granny are living next to one another. They may be a couple of houses away from each other. Let's just be honest. But one of those mansions are his. One of those mansions, Brother Jose, that's being prepared tonight is for Shane Roy. And nobody else can have my mansion. Nobody else can take the keys to the place that God has prepared for me. I'm getting excited. And nobody can take the keys to the place that God is preparing for you. There's not going to be any squatters in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's not going to be anybody that's going through saying, hey, I'm going to try to live rent-free in this place. Why? Because God has already paid for it. God has already taken care of the cost for me by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has paid for that place. He has paid for the portion. He's saying, hey, I will give you what is mine. I will give you everything that is mine. Glory to God. I get to go to heaven. Why? Because Jesus Christ has paid the way for me. I'm so thankful that He got plenty of room for every one of us. No one has ever been rejected and said, no vacancies in heaven, the rest of you are done for. No, God has a place for every one of us. Every one of us that trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have that. Why the portion of Christ? The portion of Christ is abundant. He has just what we need when we need it. I have testified so many times that I've seen the miracles of God work, and it's been absolutely amazing to me. From the time that I was a child, I've seen God work. And from the times that I have been an older adult now, I have seen God work. And how, Brother Jerry, that only God could do what the things that we're doing. And you say, hey, did it happen because of your bank account or somebody else's bank account? Absolutely not. It happened because God has made it happen, because God had supplied my need according to the riches, His riches in glory. Thank God that He never runs out, that He never runs short, that He never runs low. But thank God that He is there for me, and the portion that He's going to give to me is so very abundant. Why? Because it is His, and I am His, and He is mine. Boy, we look at those verses, well, look what we have to look forward to. A lot of people are going to say, just look what you're giving up. You're giving this lifetime of fun and joy. Absolutely not. I'm having the time of my life. I'm enjoying myself. People say, why do you get up there and holler and sweat? Because the Bible says make your living by the sweat of your brow. So God allows me to get up here and stomp and spit and sputter and praise God, praise Him. And we get to enjoy it together. Why? Because God is good to me. Because His riches are what's supplying everything that I need and what my family needs. You say, you're just missing all these things. Well, what am I missing? I'm missing misery. I'm missing pain. I'm missing sickness. I'm going to miss death. Glory to God. I believe I'll just take Jesus Christ, because all the things that He has promised me are so much better than what the world can give to me. The things that He has promised to me is so much greater than what the people of this world say. You can have this if you go forward. Hey, devil, I don't want what you can offer. I want what Jesus Christ has offered and has given it to me freely. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is still on the throne, and He's still granting grace, and He's still granting mercy, and He's saying, hey, I'll give you everything you need, Shane Roy. You just depend on me. I'm giving you everything you need, Brother Charles. You just depend on me. I'm giving you everything you need, Brother Mike, because you just depend on me. Glory to God. I'm me, just go ahead and just say, I'm so thankful that God has been good to me. He's been abundantly graceful to me. He has given me a portion that this world cannot give. He has given me something greater than this world would ever be able to give. I've got heaven to look forward to. I've got the grace of God forevermore to look forward to. And I just want to say, hallelujah, glory to God. Only in the second verse. Only in the second verse. The portion of Christ is abundant, but also the portion of Christ is absolutely accomplished. You say, well, what are you talking about there? Well, there's nothing that needs to be done for my salvation to be completed. Jesus has done it all. As a matter of fact, when you look at John chapter number 19, verse number 30, he utters three words that are read right there. He simply says, it is finished. It is accomplished. Nothing else needs to be done because he has accomplished my salvation, and all I have to do is depend on him. It's not because of works that I have done. It's not because of the sincerity that I try to have. It is not because of the service that I do, but it is because of the Son of God. It is because of Jesus Christ that each and every one of us have a place in heaven, have a mansion to look forward to, have a portion of Jesus Christ. There's great things happening. Why? Because Jesus has accomplished our salvation. All that we got to look forward to is only because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No one else has done this for me. You say, Brother Shane, has people blessed you with a lot of things? I'll never forget, several years ago, I was sitting at an altar praying. I said, God, you know what I need. You know the direction that I need to go in. And God, I don't even know what's going on in my life sometimes, but all I need you to do is go ahead and fix this for me and make this way for me. And you're going to say, well, Brother Shane, you shouldn't be bragging like this. Well, I'm just going to brag on Jesus, not on Shane Roy. So as I was praying there, Brother John, would you believe I got a phone call before I ever got up from the altar? Say, Brother Shane, you are off your rocker. I'm preaching right now. You sit in the pew, praise God. I absolutely got a phone call before I got up from the pew, and he provided the very thing that I needed before I got up from my time of prayer. You say, Brother Shane, you really expect us to believe it? Well, if you don't want to, just miss a blessing. I don't care. But I'm thankful that I know what happened in my life and how the blessing that happened on that altar keeps giving, because the Savior, he keeps giving to me. He keeps helping me out. He keeps doing it. All that I need is because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He has provided all my needs. We got to move on. But I want you to look at this. Not only has the power, not only has he got a portion, but I want you to look at the preparation of Jesus Christ. We're still in verse number 2. Look with me at the verse. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Here's the preparation. I go to prepare a place for you. I have tried to go and do things preemptively. To try to prepare. I 1998, I asked my dear wife to marry me. And to my surprise and the surprise of many others, she said yes. And I started right then, we need to find us a place to live. So I went down to the bank, and they laughed at me, Brother Jerry. They said, son, what makes you think you're going to get a house loan when you're not even old enough to rent a hotel room in your own name? It wasn't nice. I went to a few other places, had a good job, was trying to work. I finally found a place that was kind enough to loan me some money, put the money down, started building a little house on a not even an acre of land, little 3-bedroom place. It was a mansion to me. And it was mine. But because I loved her so much, I wanted to share with her what I had been given and what I was trying to pay for and what I was doing. On August the 14th of 1999, I said, I do. And we went down to our honeymoon. When we came back from our honeymoon, y'all know how guys are supposed to carry their bride across the threshold. I picked her up and I hit her feet and I hit her head and I put her feet and I hit her head. I said, baby, it'd be better off if you just walk across there. But this, everything that's mine is now hers. Glory to God. And now my bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is going to prepare a place for me. And one day, Brother Richard, he is going to say, everything that is mine, it's yours now. Because I love you. Because I have prepared this place specifically with you in mind. Oh my glory, come on now. I prepared this spot because I knew that you were coming. And I wanted this place to be so special for you. Come on now. He has absolutely prepared this place. Jesus went to the cross and prepared our salvation. Jesus Christ went to the grave and rose victorious to prepare the eternal life that we might be able to have. But Jesus Christ now has ascended into heaven to prepare a wonderful dwelling place with you in mind. Glory to God. I'm about to run. Hallelujah. Knowing that Jesus Christ has me in mind as he's working and saying, I'm preparing this place. What is that place? It's a place of rest. Glory to God. I'm thankful that there's going to be a time of rest for us. The cares of this life are going to be so burdensome, but I will be able to go away someday. And that was a place, Brother, I was able to go, Brother Mike, to take my wife, and we'd have a time of rest and refuge, and we would be together. That we would, what a day that's going to be. What a wonderful day that is going to be. And then also, thank God, you can have a reunion time in that prepared place that Jesus Christ. There are loved ones that have already gone home, and I will get to see them someday. We all get to live in the neighborhood with Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I believe there's going to be some good neighbors there. There's going to be some wonderful neighbors in the place of heaven. What will be great there is those neighbors that are in heaven, and where we'll never have to say goodbye to those neighbors ever again. What a preparation that Jesus Christ is making. I want you to move along with me. We're running out of time swiftly. Look with me at the promise of Jesus Christ. We've made it all the way to verse number 3. The promise of Jesus Christ, look at it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, wonderful that he's doing that, I will come again. I promise you, I've written it down in my blood. It is contractual that you trust in me, and I will come for you. What a wonderful thought. What a promise it is. And it is a personal promise to a precious people. Just in case you didn't know, you are the precious person that this precious Savior has personally promised that he will come again for you. Oh, my favorite verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 16, for the Lord himself. Now, if you've got something very important to do, you don't go ahead and send somebody else to get it done. Brother Richard, you're a man that works in construction and working, and you've got a lot of people that are under authority, that are under your authority. But if you've got something very important that you need to make sure that you get it accomplished, I'm sure that you go yourself. There's people and there's places and there's things that you've got to go ahead and get accomplished, and you make sure that you're going to get it done yourself. And then Jesus Christ said that this is so important to me that I don't want to send it to Michael. I don't want to send it to Gabriel. I don't want to send it to another angel, mighty powerful angels that are here. I want to make sure that the Lord, He loves you so much, that He promised you so much, that if I go and I go prepare a place, and I am, I will come again. What a wonderful return that is. In chapter number 3 of the book of Malachi, verse number 17, the Bible says that He's going to make up His jewels. And that's what He thinks about you and me, that we are the jewels, His jewels, that will be part of His wedding garments. Thank God that we're able to be part of that. The Lord Himself is descending, and He's going to shout glory to God because He's going to be excited. He's going to have the voice of the archangel. He's going to have the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air together, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Glory to God. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. God is so good. He is on His way. You say, Brother Shane, do you really believe that it's right around the corner? I believe with all of my heart, Brother John, that it could happen before we get done with the service tonight. I believe with all my heart that it could be done before we get to the Chick-fil-A and buy some Jesus chicken. I believe it before we go ahead and pillow our head tonight, that I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ could be here tonight. I'm thankful. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that time. The promise of Jesus Christ is I am going to return. I'm returning for you because I love you so much, because I've prepared a place for you so much. I'm going to give you the portion that I have, and thank God I have the power to do all of these things. Glory to God. We serve a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only is there a return in that, in verse number 3, but I want you to look a little further. Look further. That promise also goes on in chapter number 14, verse number 3. It says, if I go to prepare a place for you, verse number 3, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Have you ever been invited somewhere? And that invitation, there's people that are waiting for you to arrive. They're so excited that you arrive that they greet you at the door with open arms, welcoming you and receive you. What a reception. And receive you unto myself. Now I'm looking forward to this great reception. In Revelation chapter number 19, it talks about the wedding of Jesus Christ, the wedding of the Lamb. Praise God, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Look forward to that day. I get to be part of that. I have a reservation place. I'm going to be part of that reception. And when you thought it couldn't get any better, I'm moving. Look with me at the provisions of Christ. Look at verse number 3. You say, Brother Shane, what is the provisional about this? That where I am, there ye may be also. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I love to be where my wife is. I love to be where my children are. I desire to be with them more than I desire to be with anybody else, to be honest with you. I love y'all. I love people at a church. I'm kind of sick and tired of my sisters, but no, I'm joking. I'm not, Mandy. I love you. Hallelujah. You're my favorite. No, Michelle ain't here, no. But I'd rather be with them. I'd rather, Brother Shane, I'd rather be with Jesus than anywhere else. That where I am, there. I'm not going to put you off in a distance. You say, Brother Shane, do you believe? I believe I'm going to sit right next to Jesus Christ. You say, why in the world do you think that you deserve it? I don't. But I think all of us are going to sit right next to Jesus Christ. He loves me like I was His only child. He loves me in such a great way. I believe with all of my heart that I get to be right up next to Jesus Christ. You get up to be right up next to Jesus Christ. You get to be, I don't deserve anything. I'm not trying to put my place and myself in an elevated place at all. I believe that all of us will have an equal portion right where we need to be with Jesus Christ. But no longer do we have to face uncertain days, and forever we will be with the one that has provided all of these things for us. The provisions are what? An eternal home. I'm whittling down here. Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 2. The book of Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city." And I want to be honest with you, I'm so glad God let John write down what he saw. People say, Revelation, the book of Revelation, it scares me. It blesses my soul. Because right here, I get to see that John saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The place that was purchased for me and for you was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and He is providing an eternal home for all of those that have trusted Him as their Savior. What a wonderful thing. Purchased by the Redeemer for the redeemed. But not only is there an eternal home for that provision, but there's also an everlasting assurance. He's providing an assurance for me. How many of you know that, boy, something's going to happen, and then your mind goes to, but what if? I'll be honest. But what if? I have an assurance with Jesus Christ that He says, I will be with Him forever. Here in our text, John chapter number 14, verse number 4, it simply says this, "And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Now Thomas, he decided, we don't really know what you're talking about, Jesus. Tell us. But then in verse number 6, here's where I have the everlasting assurance. John chapter number 14, verse number 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me." I am sure that I know with all of my heart that I know Jesus Christ. That I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And what an assurance to know that it is not because of what I do, it's because of what He has done. If it were up to me, Brother Richard, if I had to walk up to the gate of heaven and St. Peter had to say, "Well, what did you do to get in?" I'm done for. Let's just be honest, all of us. None of us have done anything worthy of heaven. But simply to the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't claim anything else. How did you get here? Now I'll be honest with you, Brother Kyle, I think some people, we're going to get to heaven, you're going to say, "How did they get here?" And they're going to say, "The same way you got here. By the blood of Jesus Christ. And I will forever have the assurance to know it's because of what He has done. I know the way, the truth, the life. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my God. And He has provided all of these things for me." Brother Shane, my heart is troubled. I'll go home and read John 14, 1 through 6 one more time. That's the perfect prescription for what you're going through in your life. My heart is troubled, Brother Shane. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because of what He has done. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for Your word.